The Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, 12th July, 2022. My name is Eno Ogbeviri, welcoming you to our broadcast today. Yesterday was the World Population Day, and today we're hosting the Population Day Public Square Port Harcourt special. Joining me via the phone is Rotimi Sankore. He is in Lagos. And in the next 45 minutes or so, we'll be looking at population and how it affects governance, some of the things that population projection should do for Nigeria, the importance of population and demographic data, while all tiers of government should maximize data for planning, the consequences for countries if subnational levels of government don't act on data, and of course, gender dimensions of population and demographic data. Don't forget, you can interact with us via WhatsApp 08090306416. We're on Twitter at Nigeria Info PH, on Twitter as well at Rotimi Sankore, and our numbers 08179230002, 08179230003, 08179230009. You're welcome again. Hello, Rotimi. How are you?
Hello, Eno. Good morning.
Good morning. All right, let's start off with the population history and projections for Nigeria. Last time a population census took place was... what year was that again? About 20 years ago now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's start with the population history and projections for Nigeria.
Yes, before we do so, please, if I may, you know, thank our partners that are helping produce and bring this program to you, the Africa Center for Development Journalism and the MacArthur Foundation. If we look at Nigeria's population history, we will see that it's grown exponentially, and the investment in human development has not matched it. In 1960, Nigeria's population was 45 million. And 10 years later, by 1970, it had grown by 10 million to 55 million. And after that, it just kept jumping at well more than 10 million a decade. By 1980, it was 73 million. By 1990, 95 million. At the turn of the century, 2000, it was 122 million. 2010, 158 million. 2020, 206 million. And this year, by November this year, it's predicted to be 216 million. And that's where we are now. By 2030, it will be 262 million. I mean, that's a really, really massive jump.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in less than 10 years from now, that Nigeria's population would have added, you know, more or less just under 40 million. By 2040, it is estimated will be 329 million. And by 2050, it would have doubled to more than what it is now, by to 401 million or thereabouts. So it's growing very quickly, and the investment in health, education, electricity, everything, nothing is keeping up. So it's not looking good.
So Rotimi, what factors are considered in this population projection data?
The factors, well, so the UN population agency, working with our own population department, the National Population Council, bases it on figures of all the previous censuses.
Okay.
And there is a universal model for every country. It's not just Nigeria. There is a universal model based on which based on all previous censuses, the projections are done.
Okay, so for 2022, it's 216 million. And in about 8 years, they're looking at about 50 million population increase. But let's talk about the importance of population and demographic data to governance. You said over the years that the numbers are jumping, but infrastructure is not meeting up. It's not increasing at all.
Yes, and that is a problem because, I mean, what then happens is that if the investment in education, in electricity, I mean, just take electricity as one example. The global standard for sustainable development electrification is 1,000 megawatts per 1 million people. So by that measure, Nigeria should be now at least 200,000 megawatts plus. And we're at 5,000 megawatts. So that's a deficit of about 195,000.
Indeed.
I mean, if you want to do a quick comparison, you know, a country like Qatar, where the World Cup is going to hold later this year, Qatar is just under 3 million people, and Qatar has over 10,000 megawatts. Qatar is the population of one of the largest local governments in Lagos. And they are over 10,000 megawatts. So that gives an example of what happens when your investments in key areas like education, electricity, healthcare does not keep up with your population growth. Now, let me make one quick example. In 1960, a country like France was the same population as Nigeria, roughly 45 million. In 50 years, the French population just grew by 15 million, 1.5 in 50 years. In that same 50 years, Nigeria's population grew by 146 million. So, you know, it's no wonder that countries that have more stable population growth and invest to keep up with that population are more stable, more prosperous, and more developed. So, I mean, that's the kind of implication for, you know, for population growth and not keeping up, keeping investment, not keeping up
growing population. So what are the major causes of this? I mean, France, 50 years later, we're looking at 15 million only, and Nigeria, 146 plus million people.
Well, the main cause is gender equality, access to education for girls and women. Yes.
Okay.
If girls and women stay in school longer, 6 years primary, 6 years secondary, up to the age of 18, and then they do tertiary education, then they don't start giving birth until they are in their 20s. Mm. So in a country like France, the total fertility rate is very stable at roughly 2 children per woman, which is what is called the replacement rate. So if every family has roughly 2 children, they are just replacing themselves. In Nigeria, the total fertility is at over 5 per woman. But if you go subnational to state level, you will see that there are states where the total fertility is over 7 per woman. States like Katsina, Zamfara, Sokoto, Kebbi, Jigawa, and so forth, the total fertility is over 7 per woman. And when you multiply by polygamy, then you start getting 12 children per man, 20, 32 children per man. Now, polygamy is not a northern phenomenon. I mean, we know that all those big chiefs in south-south and south-east and south-west and so forth, they have 3, 4, 5 wives as well, you know.
And many children out of wedlock.
Yes, and many children out of wedlock. But in the states where there is first child marriage, and the girls are forcibly impregnated at 12, 13, 14, 15, they then have far more children by the time they are 30, then they may in reality have up to 9 or 10 children each. So it's the sub-national level we need to look at and see where the population explosion is coming from. And we'll come to that later. But not surprisingly, the states with the skyrocketing population in Nigeria are also the most unstable states in terms of insecurity. I mean, I'm talking of consequences now because there is more hunger, more illiteracy, and so forth like that. So, you know, it's really important for countries to have a population policy which they implement, not a policy on paper, but that policy needs to be circulated to the states, the state commissioners of planning, of gender, of youth, of education need to be called to a national conference where they say, so in your ministry, this is what you do. Education, gender, make sure all the girls go to school. 12 years up to the age of 18. Youth, this is what you need to do. Planning, this is what you need to do. It has to be costed and allocated. If not, it's just a piece of paper.
Okay, so how does this apply specifically to state and local governments?
So, in Nigeria, there is something people don't pay attention to, which is that the states and local governments are the building blocks for planning. Everybody looks at the national government to do everything. And some people, you can't blame them because they think the local governments are powerless. They don't understand how governance structures work. But most of the governors have repressed the states. Most of the state governors have repressed the local governments. In many of the states, they dismiss the elected local government officials and appoint administrators, or make sure that during the elections done by the state's electoral body, not INEC, the state electoral body, that all kinds of stooges are elected and they don't have any independent program. Now, the local government in all developed countries is where the data is first collected. Civil registration, people that are born. So if you go to any local government in any developed country at any given time and say, how many children have been born in this local government in the last week? They will tell you. In the last month, they will tell you. In the last quarter, they will tell you. In the last 1 year, they will tell you. I have tried it in Nigeria. Nobody knows. And I've had the benefit of working and living outside Nigeria for about 20 years. So I've also tested it across Africa, across the world, and they know. In fact, there are some local governments, if you drive into the local government, there is a big signboard where they will tell you by today, 900 children will be welcomed into this local government. Some local governments in developed countries do that. So without that building block, what then happens is that the local governments are unable to predict basic things. Say, for instance, if a local government has 50 schools and those 50 schools are for 10,000 children, but if in a particular year 6,000 more children are born than in the previous year, they need more schools.
Indeed.
In the developed world, that local government will say, oh, in 5 or 6 years, we need more teachers and classrooms for the extra 6,000 children. And in 11 years' time from them, we need the secondary school equivalent. Then that data is escalated to the national level where they know that after they finish secondary school in 16 or 17 years, that they need places in technical colleges, universities, and so forth like that. That kind of planning is not done in Nigeria. And what happens essentially, so let me just give a quick example. About 7.5 million children are born in Nigeria every year. 7.5. Roughly 5 million start primary school. By the time they get to Senior WAEC, only about 1.5 or 1.6 million are left. So roughly 6 million either don't start primary school or don't finish primary school or don't finish secondary school. And it is mostly because there are no places for them. So that inability to plan from the local government level upwards is causing a lot of problems. And if you see the states where there is the most insecurity, Yobe, Borno, at the height of the Boko Haram insurgency, up to 83% of all males in Yobe had never seen the inside of a school. In Borno, it was 63%. So only 17 and 27% respectively had had even primary education. So the extremists had a large pool to recruit from of people who are illiterate, can't, you know, no logic, can't tell left from right. The same thing is happening in Katsina and Zamfara now. So the inability of local government and states to do basic projections like that causes real problems. And when the problem comes, they now call the national government to send soldiers to come and save them.
Okay, so, I mean, in some states, they say they have a free education policy, but from what you just explained, that's a lie. I mean, that's never going to work. If you don't know how many children are being born, you don't have the data, you don't prepare for the future, then how are you even saying that there is anything like free education?
Yes, you are right. You are right. Without planning, I mean, you need the teachers, you need the classrooms, and without being able to plan, even your teacher training will be off completely. Mm. I mean, look at in a state like Katsina, for instance, now, which has the highest polygamy rates in the country, which has the highest fertility rates per woman of 7.3 multiplied by polygamy, and where, you know, the planning is completely off. The average class size is 101 children. Average class size.
Per teacher.
In reality, some of the classrooms have 150 children.
Per teacher. Per classroom teacher, for
yes.
a start.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, not surprisingly, Katsina also has the highest level of hunger and malnutrition in the country. This is official data. This is data from the government's National Nutrition Report. 58% hunger and malnutrition in Katsina. So, highest birth rate per woman, highest polygamy, no local government planning, the consequences are clear. The bandits have a playground in terms of potential recruits. And you can see when they meet governor, they are armed. Because, I mean, they know what the social balance of forces is.
Hmm. So is it that government cannot do this? Is it beyond them to do?
It's not beyond them, but the ideological orientation of the government is important. Does the government have the ideological orientation that enables it to harness planning? That is one. Are they interested? What level of corruption is there? If the money they are supposed to use to do this has been converted to security votes, which has no receipts, then obviously there is a problem. If the local government autonomy, financial and administrative, has been crushed and that money is diverted, then there is a problem. You can see the governor's forum arguing that they are against the constitutional amendment for local government autonomy, that they are supposed to be in charge. How? You know, so, you know, you can see greed being a problem, corruption, incompetence, lack of ideological clarity on what to do with planning. There are a whole lot of things that come together there. If it is not fixed, there is nothing even the best national leadership can do. And if the national leadership is not able to lead and see the problem, I always tell my friends that are in government, I say, look, if there is a, so there is high youth unemployment in Nigeria now, 42% or so. I have not had the president call my former colleague, Sunday Dare, who is the Minister of Youth, has not had the president call him and say, look, Mr. Dare, you need to call the 36 commissioners of youth in the country to come together and see how this problem can be addressed. But if there is an insecurity problem, immediately they summon the commissioners of police and the service chiefs. The Minister of Planning has never been told once, call the 36 commissioners of planning so that we can see where the problems are at the state level and make sure that the investment is done for state and local government. They've never done that before. Look at our number of out-of-school children, 13 million plus. Have they ever called the commissioners of education before to a national summit with the Minister of Education? There are 60 million adults in Nigeria that can't read or write. Have they ever called the commissioners of education to say, proportional to the number in your state, this is the number of adult education classes you need to solve this problem? So the leadership at the national level is also a problem. Never mind that the state governments and local governments are unable to do their work.
You're listening to the Public Square Port Harcourt special. Focus is on population. World Population Day was observed on the 11th of July. My guest is Rotimi Sankore, joining me from Lagos. And he's giving us a projection. He said in 2022, our figure is about 216 million. And the projection by 2050 is about 401 million Nigerians. But he's identified the gap. So the numbers are growing, you know, population-wise, but infrastructure isn't. And he said several things, you know, that the government can do, specifically education, and of course how states and local governments must realize that it's their responsibility, because planning starts from the bottom. How many children are birthed every year? Are they going to go to school? Are they expanding schools? Are they expanding the infrastructure and, of course, the teaching staff as well? And of course, he talked about the implication of the birth rates on, you know, everything, governance. But let's look at the rains that fell in Lagos 2-3 days ago. We saw videos and pictures of flooding, and some people are not even sure what is going on. Some say, oh, it's the water. But somebody has said God brings the rains, but man creates floods.
Well, I mean, in this case, man creates the flood, because Lagos is peculiar, and it means that the population planning at local government level especially has to take that into consideration. It's 20 million people. It's the smallest state geographically, but it's the most densely populated in the country. Now, if you look globally at the developed countries, the equivalent of local governments all have water treatment plants that supply pipe-borne water to every building. And what that means is that people don't need to buy sachet water and they don't need to buy bottled water. So in a state like Lagos, where every local government does not have a water treatment plant that supplies pipe-borne water to every building, the 20 million citizens buy 3 or 4 sachets of water a day, or 3 or 4 bottles of water a day. That means there are about 60 million pieces of plastic every day that are thrown into the drains. 60 million pieces of plastic daily thrown into the drains because each local government has not done the planning that enables it to have a water treatment plant and supply every building with pipe-borne water. Now, we are not yet talking of the sachet milk, sachet every other thing, sachet vegetable oil,
pet bottles,
even the sachet ogogoro,
fizzy
because
drink.
Now, yeah, the poverty level is so high that people can only buy in sachet. I mean, when I went to boarding school, our milk and chocolate powder tin was so big that we had to hold it with 2 hands. Now, anybody that tries, in fact, nobody even manufactures it, it will be sold for 25,000 naira now. So all those sachets has ended up in the drain. Now, as you know, in developed countries, all local governments do their own waste collection and disposal. And they even sort it. They give you these big containers where you put plastic, tin, paper, and
glass.
Yes, and glass and so forth like that.
Separate.
Yes. So you know what you can recycle, where it is going. So in Nigeria, no local government does that. So you see a lot of people when, you know, because the state governors have appropriated the responsibility to do the waste disposal.
Mm-hmm.
In Lagos, it's called Loma. Of course, they can't cover everywhere. So citizens just dump everything on the streets. When nobody comes to collect it, it ends up in the gutter. And when rain is coming, you see what happened recently. Flood carrying away vehicles, people bringing out canoes, just to make fun. Canoes were being used to offer people rides of 500 naira each to their destination. In the middle of the road.
In the city.
In the city. Canoes, 500 naira per ride. In the city. Because there was no population-based planning. Local government has collapsed. And the state is not living up to its responsibilities. So it's not just the insecurity of bandits and extremists that can recruit from a larger pool if education planning is not done well at local government. It can also destroy urban cities. So for several days now, nothing happening in many parts of Lagos.
So that has sort of grounded the economy in some areas, especially for small business owners.
Yes, completely. You can't switch on electricity. Even when there is light, you can't put it on neutral, because if you put your leg inside, boom, you are gone. So people are afraid. Even if they can get to the workplace, even if, all because the water was not supplied through pipes to every house in every local government. And you know, so people will say, clear the drainage. But why is the drainage full?
Good question.
People should stop dropping their plastic bottles. Why do they have to buy plastic bottles of water or sachet? Why? So you can look at so many sectors and you will see that the implications of lack of data-based planning at the sub-national level has a serious impact on everything, insecurity, in fact, if we go on, we can spend two hours here.
All right, let's look at gender, women's rights, and how it interacts with population and demographic data.
Well, of all the issues, this is the one that people really need to pull their ears and understand. Because there is a general thinking, which is really sad, that women are inferior to men, which science has debunked to start with. Because at the intellectual level, if you have ever been to school before, I'm sure if you have seen girls in your class that are as intelligent or more intelligent than you. So, you know, the question of intellectual equality is well established through the educational system. But inequality is based on exploitation. And that exploitation is reinforced by discriminating against people, either based on race or based on gender, and so forth like that. So in the case of girls, what broadly happens, as we mentioned earlier in the program, is that millions of girls in Nigeria are first disqualified from even the basic opportunities they should have for education.
Mm.
Once they are forced into child marriage at 12, 13, 14, and again, this is not a northern phenomenon. I should mention that as recently as 4 years ago, the first child marriage in Bayelsa was 50%, which is one in every two girls. as recently as 4 years ago. So people think, oh, okay, it is worse in Katsina, it's worse in Zamfara. It is 70%, 82%, 83%. Yes, but it also happens in the southern part of the country. And the cumulative effects of that essentially is that the population, you know, growth is out of control. Because once the girls are subjected to that inequality of being forced out of school or not starting, being forcibly impregnated, they don't have bodily autonomy. The right to bodily autonomy largely does not exist in Nigeria. You know, the police or the judicial system does not protect it. If a girl is assaulted on the street, you will see a lot of noise. Oh, no, this can't be allowed. But if a 13-year-old girl is captured and the man claims that the girl is his wife, everybody will keep quiet. Nobody will say, but how? She's a child. So what happens essentially is that once these children are being forcibly impregnated, then the population count starts growing. When they die, as often happens at childbirth, because if you start childbirth as a child and you have 5, 6, 7 children without spacing, at some point, the likelihood increases that you will suffer maternal mortality. When you die, the children become orphans. The guy gets another girl child again. Even the grown-up women don't have access to family planning, which we all know is good both for the health of the woman and for the society and the economy. So you can see through multiple points like that where gender interacts with population issues. And in the more developed countries, all these issues are addressed. There is access to family planning. Little girls are not forced to start bearing children. There is right to bodily autonomy. You can't just grab a 12-year-old girl and say she's your wife and nobody will say anything. In Nigeria, even a governor did it. The governor, former governor of Zamfara State, Yerima, did it. And he claimed that his religion allowed him to do it. At the same time that Saudi Arabia was raising the age of first child marriage of child to 18. Sorry, they were raising the age of marriage for girls to 18, thereby abolishing first child marriage. So if the Saudis were doing it in that same year that Yerima was claiming that it was his rights, you know, there are Muslim countries in this world where the age of marriage for girls is 21, higher than in many Christian countries. So when people say, you know, their religion allows it, they are just misleading people. They are misleading people. It is their interpretation of their religion which allows for exploitation of girls.
You know, it's interesting.
Sorry, I was just going to say, so gender equality and women's rights are really crucial to development of nations. It is good for the girls, good for society, good for development. If not, we lose control of everything and then we end up where we are today.
You know, Rotimi, it would be interesting to note that most of these governors are not giving out their daughters at 13.
Of course not.
We're Nigerian Football Hackett, and this is the Population Day Public Square Port Hackett special. Rotimi Sankore is my guest. He is editor-in-chief, Africa Center for Development Journalism. And of course, he's given us some very salient points linking population with development and, of course, where Nigeria is. But to me, you know, it's also interesting to know that at a time like this, we still have fathers focusing on training their male children over the female children, saying you're going to be another man's name after all. So what's the point?
Actually, it is really misplaced. There are so many countries in which you are not even compelled by law or tradition to bear your husband's name, and it does not affect your marriage. There are so many countries. There are so many countries. So this idea of you are going to bear another person's name, and therefore you shouldn't go to school, you shouldn't have human rights, you shouldn't have a profession, you shouldn't have your income, you shouldn't be able to control your fertility, you shouldn't be able to space your children. That is what has ended us where we are today now. If this was explained to the people in Borno and Yobe or Katsina and Zamfara 60 years ago, around independence time, that having this attitude towards your girl children will lead to high fertility rates multiplied by polygamy, and if you don't send them to school, these are the consequences, that in about 60 years, the place will be overrun by bandits and extremists. If anybody had bothered to explain to them, wouldn't they have understood it? Mm. You know, so it's a question of leadership, really. If the leadership fails to explain the consequences of inequality, then people will just continue with it. Mm. But once people understand the consequences, people will adjust. All these countries we are talking about that are more stable, more developed, and so forth like that, it is because there is more equality there. If you look at the top of the Global Human Development Index, all the countries at the top, when you make adjustment for every other indicator, like electricity, transport, when you make adjustment for everything, the most common indicator they have is gender equality and women's rights. Mm. That all girls have the same right to education, aspiration, profession, income. So there is less poverty. So the question of culture, and culture is transient. Culture is transient. The culture of 500 years ago is not the culture we have today. Mm.
All right, you can join the conversation. We're on Twitter at Nigerian4PH, on WhatsApp 0809030646. And if you'd like to call in, 0817923000, 0817923000, 0817923009. Mui is listening from New York City, says, kudos to Rotimi Sankore. Well said, bro. Then Mr. T says, I think 42% of people not employed in Nigeria is an understatement. Hector is... okay, go on.
I was just going to say, well, that's the official data. That's the official data. Overall, unemployment is 33%. Okay. Underemployment is 22%. When you underemployment means essentially that if you go to work, by the end of the first week, you don't even have transport money again. Mm. That's just the crude interpretation.
You said 20%, Rotimi.
22.
No, that sounds like 82%, really. I mean, from interactions.
Yes, yes, that's why I said these are the official figures we are dealing with. Because the way you are sounding is like it applies to many people that you know.
Of course it does.
So combined unemployment and underemployment is 55%.
Officially.
Youth employment is 42%. Those are the official figures. Mm. Now, most people will feel that this should be higher. But even if the official figures are that high, it tells you how bad it is. Mm. And it is not being addressed.
Okay. Hector said, the last time I checked, Lagos State was around 9 million, according to the National Population Census of 2016. That's 16 years ago now, Hector. It says, while River State was 5 million, why is Lagos now 20? And River State is still estimated to be 5 million since there's not been another official census. I think he joined.
So the extra factor added into the computation of the Lagos figures is migration.
Okay.
Because when you are computing figures, you are basing things on, firstly, the reproductive rate based on the former previous censuses. Then you factor in things like migration. For cities like Lagos, migration is a big, 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 big factor. So that's why, in fact, globally, the population projections always take... So, for instance, we are comparing France with Nigeria and saying that in 1960, the population of both countries was 45 million. Mm. And 50 years later, France had grown only by 15 million and Nigeria by 161 million. That was mostly based on reproductive rates. However, even the French, in terms of migration, there is one migrant to France roughly every 9 or 10 minutes. Yes. You know, and this is like global projection, roughly every 9 or 10 minutes. Whereas if you look at the birth rates, then you will see that actually, you know, they are doing... Can I... Please, Enoch.
Yes.
If people follow me on Twitter at Rotimi Sankore, you will see I've been tweeting about it this morning.
Okay.
That if in a country like France, there's one birth every 44 seconds. Mm. One birth every 44 seconds. The daily, the number of children born daily in France is about 1,900. Whereas in Nigeria, there is one birth every 4 seconds. The number of children born daily is over 21,000. Mm. So the population change in Nigeria since January 1 is about 2.8 million.
Till date?
Yes.
Wow.
Whereas in France, it's 82,000.
Mm. Okay.
And that factors in migration. So states like Lagos have a lower reproductive rate but higher migration. That's what is factored in.
Okay. I'm sure that's... well, he's just asking maybe based on the data, but in Rivers State, we also have a high migration rate. I mean, it's not rocket science. Samuel Desami says, based on what your guest has enlightened us, we have a longer way to go and our problems are not big but mighty. It will take a responsible government to get started to fix this problem we're in now. No proper data collection to even know births and deaths of our citizens. We don't even know where we can start from. Tech says, it appears Mr. Rotimi believes Nigeria's population figures. Well, I don't. We need to digitalize our census mechanism. As long as we keep hearing tales from census enumerators that they're adjusting the figure under duress or we're prevented from seeing the females they enumerated, the figures will be questionable. But we must work with it anyway. Did he say the Minister of National Planning should call a meeting of state commissioners of planning? I doubt if up to 5 states have that portfolio. Here in Oyibo, a semi-urban area, the student-teacher ratio in my school is roughly 65 to 1. Yet we have the highest teacher population in Oyibo. Suspect that 120 to 1 ratio Mr. Rotimi gave us for those affected states must be grossly underestimated. More messages here. I can't agree less with the analysis. The guest is so precise and articulate. Why is it that we have people like your resource person and yet we don't have solutions to these population problems in Nigeria? Someone is asking. Then just a final message I will take says, I totally agree with Rotimi on the girl child forced into marriage at a tender age. I witnessed my cousin at 17 get married to a man of 60 plus because he got her pregnant. So sad, because her parents didn't even see the walls of a school. 17 is a minor, by the way. A man of 60 plus, that's rape. That's rape. What do you mean?
It is statutory, in fact. It is statutory.
So there's one on Twitter. He says, how do you explain to clerics and religious leaders that be fruitful and multiply was said to Adam because the earth was empty and lacked humans, not now that we are overpopulated and people still want to have 5 to 10 children, especially in search of a male child?
It's all a question of planning. In most developed countries, there is a section of government that gives you a projection of how much you will spend on a child born in any given month.
Mm.
So they can say, oh, if your child is born in January 2022, when you factor in education, feeding, clothing, toys, by the time that child is 18, you would have spent $270,000. They actually put out the figure. So when you look at it, you and your madam or you and your guy look at each other, you look at your income, you shake your head and say, okay, $270,000 times 10. No, that's not going to happen here.
No, but God trains children in Africa, especially in Nigeria. God will help us.
Yes, and of course, we can see the consequences.
Mm.
Of course, we can see the consequences.
Thank you very much, Rotimi Sankore, for your time. And thanks to Africa Center for Development Journalism and Mark Arthur Foundation for Production and Sport. Rotimi, I hope the government is listening and someone would, you know, at some point realize that we need to take, or they need to take these matters very urgently to save us from an imminent collapse as a nation.
Well, certainly we hope so, but ours is to keep doing the public education. I mean, in Lagos here, the public square holds every Friday at 4 p.m. You can also listen online at Nigeria Info 99.3 Lagos, 4 p.m. every Friday. You can follow the program at Public Square NG, and I am at Rotimi Sankore. If you like the data and you'd like to keep up, the Center for Development Journalism is at Dev Journalism, at Dev _ Journalism. On Twitter. So we just keep up the public education and hope that it has an impact.
Mm.
If there is more consciousness, then the electorate will be more governance literate and hopefully better politicians will be elected. It's a process. And unfortunately, we've had over 60 years of misgovernance, including military rule. But we have to get out of it. If not, the country won't last very long.
Mm. I'm seeing a tweet here that you retweeted by Serap saying that they've sued the 36 state governors over their failure to fund education for poor children while paying over $40 billion to former governors in pensions and provision of houses, staff and motor vehicles replaceable between 3 and 4 years. Of course, that shows the direction that the government is going. And of course, I like that you said we need to continue the enlightenment so that citizens themselves can take responsibility for the numbers. Because yes, the government should control the data and work with it, but basically citizens generate the numbers by birth and the discrimination against females that you did speak about. Thank you very much, Rotimi Sankore, for your time.
Thank you so much, Eno. Very grateful.
All right, and that's a wrap on the Public Square special from Port Hackett, Nigeria Info PH. Don't forget, the conversation continues online at Nigeria Info PH. And don't forget, you can follow Rotimi at Rotimi Sankore on Twitter, at Enigma City on Twitter. Thank you for your time, and good morning.